When Israeli tanks and troops eventually withdraw from Palestinian towns and refugee camps, damage assessment will begin, physical and political. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat are both enjoying a surge in popular support. It seems based almost entirely on their willingness to lead their people into battle against the enemy. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
Last month's horrific Netanya suicide bombing and the massive Israeli military offensive that followed have Ariel Sharon riding a fresh wave of support from an increasingly hawkish Israeli public. Professor Ephraim Imbar says Sharon is moving quickly to consolidate his gains by adding more right-wing parties to his coalition and not worrying about alienating the more dovish Labor Party.
Now he's back in great popularity, and I think he's preparing the ground even if Labor leaves the government. Actually, we see the National Religious Party coming in, and maybe other parties will join the government. So far, it seems that politically, at the domestic level, Sharon has not much to worry about.
At home, Sharon has for the moment neutralized his biggest threat, former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Internationally, there are serious questions about whether this display of military muscle will bring calm or a new generation of gunmen and suicide bombers. Political science professor Reuven Hazan says those still in the Israeli peace camp despair as they see the smoking ruins of the Palestinian Authority and watch Arafat's popularity rise with every call for his badly outgunned people to resist the Israeli occupation. Hazan says it now appears that more moderate Palestinian elements are left on the sidelines.
Because whoever we could hopefully get on a peace path with is little by little, bit by bit, being dismantled. The PA is falling apart. And at the head of it stands a man who refuses to budge and remains more and more of an obstacle. And the people who we hope would replace him are supporting him and not raising any sort of opposition to him.
Palestinian analyst Hassan Khatib says this has long been Sharon's goal, the political and literal destruction of the Palestinian Authority, and with it the Oslo peace process. Khatib says many Palestinians now believe that Area A, the parts of the West Bank placed under complete Palestinian control by the Oslo Accords, is now totally invalidated.
And this is another step of systematic Israeli steps that has been taken since the takeover of Sharon towards reversing the Oslo process. And Sharon is bringing the situations much nearer to his ideological belief, direct Israeli control of all Palestinian territories.
Israel insists it doesn't want permanent reoccupation, but former Israeli Foreign Minister Shlomo Ben-Ami says those who say Oslo is dead are right, and he argues that another casualty is the concept of interim peace agreements. He says it's more critical than ever that the United States come forward with a comprehensive Middle East peace plan and assemble an international coalition to press for its implementation. Ben-Ami argues that such a plan should be an integral part of President Bush's war against terror.
The 11th of September is not only about fighting terrorism, it is also about fighting terrorism, but it is also about mobilizing international resources and energies in order to solve conflicts that the parties have given sufficient proof that they are incapable of solving it themselves.
At the moment, Secretary of State Powell's goals appear to be much more modest. But Professor Reuven Hazan says at this point, the importance of avoiding the worst-case scenario, seeing the entire region plunged into war, cannot be overstated.
This is a powder keg. It could spiral out of control so easily. And regretfully right now, I do not see on the Palestinian side, nor on the Israeli side, leaders who are capable of getting us out of a situation that could bring destruction to the whole region. I hope to God that what we have in Washington today is a leader that might be able to pull us apart, because we don't seem to be able to do this on our own.
Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Jerusalem.